right, everybody. We are about to have some fun. Will you stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel? The Gospel comes to us today from the Gospel according to John, the third chapter, verses 16 through 21. All right, so let's move back. Let's do 14 through 21. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and the people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every heart here be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, I love this passage. Anybody ever heard this passage before? We're keeping you on your toes today. We got John 3:16. We got Amazing Grace. We're hitting you in all those places that you've been before. You've been down this path before, right? You know these words. You know these songs. Well, I'm doing this today with a purpose, because I'm going to walk you through a little bit of my journey as it relates to this passage of Scripture, because I, for my life, until about, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, have been reading this passage wrong. And I thought, you know, if I've been reading it wrong, then maybe some other folks could use some help too. Or if you have been reading it right, this will give you an opportunity to pat yourself on the back. And so I want to give you, everybody, that opportunity. I had always read this passage, you know, that first part that we said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I had always decided, and I don't know why I decided this, but it was just always what I did, that you remember that part when Moses goes to talk to Pharaoh on behalf of Israel, right? He talks to God in the burning bush, and God says, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go, right? And he gets there, and God tells him, look, throw your staff on the ground, it'll become a snake, and then you can pick it up, and it'll become a staff again. Y'all remember that part? Yeah. That's what I thought this was about. That is not what this is about. This is about the weirdest passage in the Bible. And you think I'm joking, but I'm not. This is about something that happened in the Old Testament that may be the most unusual event that happens in the life of Israel. It is so unusual that what God tells Moses to do, eventually Israel has to destroy it, because it has become a source of religious faith that God did not want Israel to have. All right, so here's the story. This is in the book of Numbers. Now, I know a lot of you read the book of Numbers all the time, but just for those that haven't, I'm gonna go through this for you. This is when Israel is in the wilderness. They are wandering around out in the desert. A journey that ought to take them about 2 weeks takes them 40 years, because they keep messing up. And God ultimately says, you know what? None of you people are going into the promised land. I'm going to wait it out. I'm going to wait for this generation to die off so I can get a more compliant generation. God essentially told Israel, I'm pulling the car over. And we're not going any farther until you people can show me you can behave. And so that's what God does. God pulls the car over, and they wander around the wilderness for 40 years. Now, during this time, there is, as Israel is wont to do, they start complaining. And they say, let's see, we're in verse 21. Okay, from Mount Hor, they set out to go around to the way of the Red Sea, to go around the land of Edom, but the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Do you know what the miserable food is they detested? Manna. Every day they would get up and God would have provided food for them. Every single day, food for which they did not work, food for which they did not labor. All they had to do is go out and pick it up. And they hated it because they are our children. I don't want oatmeal for breakfast. Well, what are you making for breakfast? Nothing. You're sitting down. Somebody is standing in the kitchen creating something for you out of nothing and providing it for you with no cost at all. All you have to do is sit there and food magically appears in front of you. Israel, they're our children. They're just like us. We do the same thing. We do the same thing. Oh, I don't want to do that again. I mean, we just ate there. I don't know. What do you want to do? What do you want to eat? We do the same thing. Now, we're more mature, perhaps, in our responses sometimes, but we're the same way. They detested this miserable food. And so what God did, which is, I don't know, I think kind of an interesting God move. He sends poisonous snakes into the camp of the Israelites. And they overrun the camp, and people are getting bitten left and right and dying. And so then Israel understands that they have erred, and so they decide, look, we're sorry, God. Sorry, Moses. That one's on us. That's our bad. Please do something about the snakes. Moses goes to God and says, God, they don't like the snakes. And God says, all right, I'll tell you what you do. Go make a serpent of bronze. Make a snake out of bronze. Put it on top of a pole. You raise the pole up in front of the Israelites. And when anybody gets bitten, they can come and look at the snake and they will live. I am not making this up. This is in chapter 21 of Numbers. They can look at the snake and they'll live. This is what Jesus is referencing. He's having a conversation with a man named Nicodemus, a Pharisee who is scared to death that he's going to be associated with Jesus, but he just can't stay away from him. So he shows up at night and he says, listen, talk to me some more about what this is that you're teaching. And Jesus tells him that just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Now all of a sudden we're seeing Jesus in a little bit different light. So the Son of Man must be lifted up. That whoever believes in Him, whoever believes in Him will have eternal life. Just as the serpent gives life to Israel, so Jesus, the Son of Man, lifted up, gives life to anyone who believes in Him. What is interesting about the story in Numbers, to me, I think it's perhaps the most amazing aspect of it, is that, in the story, God sends the snakes. God sends the snakes into the camp of the Israelites. And when they repent and when they acknowledge their brokenness and that they have fallen short, that they have missed the mark, that they have sinned against God and against Moses, they come to them and they make that repentance. The snakes don't go away. They don't disappear. They don't leave. All God tells Moses is that when they get bitten, when they get bitten, if they look at the serpent of bronze, they will live. It doesn't say they won't get bitten. It doesn't say it won't hurt like crazy. It doesn't say you won't wish you were dead. It does say you will live. You will live. That's, I think, the message that Christ is showing us. When Jesus is raised up on the cross, just as Moses raises up the serpent of bronze, it doesn't mean that just by believing in Jesus, just by looking at Christ on the cross, it doesn't mean that we won't get bitten. It doesn't mean that it won't hurt. It doesn't mean we won't wish we were dead. It means that we, believing in Christ, raised up on the cross, it means that we will live. We will live. Whenever I was engaged in childhood activities that resulted in the occasional skin, knee, or elbow, or bruise, or whatever that caused me to run frantically for my mother, and we would sit there and she would evaluate me with that cool, detached medical demeanor. And she'd say something along the lines of, "You'll live." Jesus tells us, you'll live. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean it won't hurt. It doesn't mean that we won't feel that sting of betrayal. It doesn't mean that we won't feel that ache of longing and yearning for something that is gone and we can't get it back. It doesn't mean we won't grieve. It doesn't mean that life is going to be a painless journey from success to success. What it does mean is that if we keep our eyes on the Son of Man lifted up for us, we will live. We will live. I went with the group from the missions committee to work on the house for Habitat for Humanity around here on Craig Street yesterday, and we had a lot of fun, and we sweated, and we chopped up a bunch of stuff and hauled it to the curb, and we spent virtually the whole day in the backyard, and we found a little snake. He was a little tiny non-venomous snake. Mac Henley was raking, and he saw a little movement in the grass, and we looked down, and we peeled, and we finally found him. I mean, seriously, I mean, he's about this long and thin as like a little earthworm, and so I picked him up, and his defense mechanism was to pretend he was dead. He just, and ultimately, he kind of perked up a little bit and started moving around and smelling things, and but it reminded me that the snakes are all around us, but there's a family that is going to be moving into that house. They're hopeful by April 1st. They're going to move into that house. And it's going to be because people like our church did that work of preparing a place for them. Now they're going to work, they've worked their own selves in that process. They have equity, sweat equity in that house as well. It doesn't mean that it hasn't been hard for them. It doesn't mean that it hasn't been painful for them. It doesn't mean that it won't be painful for them next week or 2 months or 6 months from now. But what it does mean is for a moment, when they walk up to the door of their new house, they'll know we will live here. That's an important thing. That matters. That's what you did yesterday. You gave someone a place to live. Jesus does that for us. Jesus gives us a place to live. That place is called church. This is who we are. This is where we are. This is where we see the Son of Man lifted up. We know that when we believe, we'll live. And we'll have some conversations coming up related to how this whole this body of Christ, the church here in Atmore, is going to proceed through the next steps of ministry together. And some of those are going to be related to programming, and some of them are going to be related to seeing ourselves through to the completion of the More Than Bricks campaign. There are so many things that are still yet to be folded into that process, and your More Than Bricks committee has begun the process of looking exactly at how to proceed from here. The congregation, you have been exceptionally generous in preparing us for the next steps. And so the committee wants to ensure that we're doing the best that we can to be good stewards of that generosity. And as we continue our meetings and deliberations and conversations, we want to make sure that you are in that conversation every step of the way. We have some decisions to make about which of our priorities we want to address first, and we want to do that in a way that adheres to the vision of our congregation, to the vision of our ministry here in Atmore, because we know that there is somebody beyond the walls of this church right now who the snakes are biting right now. And they want to know when they come here, because one of you will say, I know that snake bite hurts. Let me come give you some help. And so when you bring them here, they're going to walk up the steps of their new home, and you're going to be able to tell them, you will live here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.